Hello, hello, and welcome back to Finding Better. This is our podcast where we share experiences and we share wisdom. We don't share opinions. We don't share academics. We don't even share theories, but we share real life experiences that hopefully you can learn something from and apply to your own life. And you know, share this with other folks. You know, we don't want anything from you. We're just trying to help make things better. My name is John Suzuki, by the way, and I am your host. And we're just going to get right into this. My guest today is Hannah Sandmeyer. She is an amazing person that I've known for a long, long time. And she's just got the kind of energy and just an amazing person who is always positive and is kind of the kind of person I want to be when I grow up. You know, I mean, she's got an amazing heart, and she and I worked together in a previous life, and I just love her energy, and I'm honored to have her on the show. Hannah Sandmeyer, welcome.
Oh, thank you, John. So happy to be here.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I spent a lot of time together.
Yes.
And
in beautiful places, most typically.
In amazing, amazing places, because Hannah and I were both in the travel business and some of the most amazing places in the country and on the planet. Mm. So Hannah, I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the group. And and who are you and what makes you tick?
Yeah, sure. Hey, everybody, I'm Hannah. I am 43 years old, John, if you can believe it. I mean, when we
wait,
knew
you're
each other,
43?
I know.
Since when? Nutty.
I know. I don't know what's happening.
Okay, folks, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, I mentioned this in a previous podcast that the older you get, the faster time goes. And the reason why really? That happens is because, as I said, 1 year when you're 2 years old is 50% of your life. But yeah. 1 year when you're, 1 year when you're 2 years old, 50, but 1 year when you're 50 years old is only 2% of your life.
Mm.
And so as you get older, time gets shorter. And Hannah, you're 40, whatever. Okay, sorry, go ahead. I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so 43 years old, I'm like, you know, almost a half life, right? I live in Portland, Oregon. I've been in Portland.
You're almost a half life.
Half life, baby.
Okay,
I don't know.
Whatever.
I mean,
whatever.
If I make it to 90, I'll be lucky.
I'll say a third.
Good Lord. I hope not. but no, I live in Portland, Oregon. I have a young son, Brady. He's 9. He's the joy of my life. And yeah, I've been a career salesperson. John actually got me into this gig for about 18 years now. I've been doing corporate sales, working for companies of all sizes. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing now. And I just started my own business, which is nerve-wracking, but super exciting. Because I think that everything, of course, I believe in the butterfly effect, right? Everything everything that you do leads to where you're going to be. And where you're going to be is where you're supposed to be, even if it sucks. And if it sucks, actually, you're in the right place, because that's where the work gets done, right?
That's true. You know, one of my favorite quotes is from Denzel Washington. Mm-hmm. And he says, ease is a greater enemy to progress than hardship.
Yep.
100%. And, you know, and, you know, and so, yeah, it's congratulations on starting your business. You're going to be amazing. You're going to be amazing.
Thank you, Jeff.
I've been there, done that too. And it is scary, but oh my gosh.
So rewarding.
You're going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have, you know, one of the things that always struck me about you, Hannah, I shouldn't say this, but you're always up. You're always up, right? And your energy is high. And, you know, I've seen you down a few times, but boy, I see you get back, right back up right away. And, you know, tell us a little bit about your experience and kind of what makes you tick.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with my mom a couple weeks ago, because John, since I left the nest of Expedia in 2000, 16, I think it was 2018. It was. It's been rough. I mean, it's been rough for all of us, right? Right, pre-COVID, and then COVID hit, and then it's kind of been weird times. So I have found myself, as lots of us have been, working for corporate America. I've been laid off 3 times in 4 years, right? So it's been ups and downs. And my mom asked me the same question. She's like, Hannah, how do you just like get through this? Like, you always seem to like find a way.
Yeah,
to
look
the
at
other
you.
Side.
Look at you. It's amazing.
You're never down for too long. I don't know. I mean, I just think that I've been super fortunate to have traveled a good portion of my life. I've lived in 3 different countries. I studied abroad when I was in university. I've been in a lot of different scenarios where I'm definitely the lucky one, you know. And like you said, like, yes, you know, things, you know, ease is not necessarily where you want to be, but certainly I've been born with a lot of ease. So I have a lot of context, right, and perspective, and I have a lot of, I have a good sense of like, hey, man, you know, like things could be down right now, but they won't be for long if I just put in the work. And one of my favorite, most recently, I came across this. I can't remember who, so I apologize. I can't quote the person, but it was the sentiment of abundance is not attained. It's tuned into. And I just like,
oh,
that,
interesting.
And that like hit, you know, like I was like, what? And then you
that's
sit
true.
With it for a second,
that
and then
is
it
so
just,
true.
It's like to the face, right? It's like, you know, that's not something you go after. It's something you tune into. So just do the work. Lose the attachment to the end result, because you're never in control, right? You're never in control. Just
control
do the
is
work.
An illusion.
It's 100%, no matter where you are, right? So just do the work, be who you are, be a good person, right? Be honest, have high fidelity to integrity. I love that, you know, and just keep showing up, right? And I think having a kid, I wasn't really sure I was going to have a kid, you know? But as a parent, you know, you have somebody who's looking at you, right? They're looking at how you respond.
Totally.
And I want to give my son the tools and the understanding of like, hey, bro, like you can do this, you can get through this, and you don't have to make sacrifices on what's most meaningful to you to get there, right? You don't have
That's
to be a
right.
different person. And you'll always end up where you're supposed to be. So for whatever reason, right, this has been my path. And I know I'm not the only one, right? And it's pretty cushy. Like I'm still, you know, I'm still in a nice house in Northeast Portland, right? Like my life is pretty good. I don't have a lot of want. I certainly have a lot of, you know, or a lot of need, you know, that I'm not getting. So it's been pretty good. But I think what makes me tick, to answer your question, like what keeps me
so
going.
Can I just mention something there?
Yeah.
Right. It is so important. And that, you know, that you just showed to me a whole lot of wisdom when you said that you talked about abundance, right? Abundance is something that you tune into and, you know, and you see that in people. You see that in people. You can tell the people that live in abundance or they live in scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mindset.
Yes.
It really is something that you tune into. It goes back to the glass is half full or half empty.
Yes. Yes.
Right? I mean, that's exactly what you just
yes.
said, right? You can live with the glass full, and I'll tell you, living tuned into abundance is so much more fun than being tuned into a world of scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, because think about it, right? Think about it. I mean, I look at you and you just said, you know, you live a pretty cushy life. And you just said prior to that you got laid off 3 times in the last 4 years. I mean, you know, you could be just as easily complaining about, I want a bigger house. I've been trying to get a bigger house and I want a new car and I want, you know, all these different things. And you're sitting there going, hey, you know, everything's cool. And, you know, this too shall pass and just work through it. That, you know, those are the kinds of things that are just so helpful for people to learn and hopefully, you know, internalize for their own life. So anyway, so what makes you tick? Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, I think what makes me tick is having real meaning in life, you know, not chasing, when I think about it, like you pushed me to do this, right? We talked a couple weeks ago and you said, Hannah, write it down. What do you want? What do you want from your life? Right? Like if you're going to really manifest it, like write it down, like very clearly, you know? So, and that's always a great exercise, right? It's so simple, but it's so true. Like if you don't know what you want, you're never going to get it, right? You can't invite stuff in your life if you're not, if you don't have real clarity, right? So I did, I wrote it down. And like a lot of the things that I want, right, are, it really comes down to, I think there's no greater gift, John, than you can ever give to yourself or to anybody else than presence, right? Being present, not being distracted, not thinking about something else, like just being present. And that's hard. We live in such a competitive world, right? Like we're just chasing, chasing, chasing. We're digging, digging, digging. And I think what I've learned is in order for me to get the things that I really want, to tune into the abundance that I want, right? It's not, you know, that big house. It's not a fancy car. I certainly don't want a yacht. I mean, I believe in climate
Oh,
change,
God.
You know, like, you know, like all those things, you know? It's more about simplicity. Like maybe it involves chickens at some point. I don't know, right? But I can see myself.
I love eggs. I love eggs.
Well, chickens are freaking cool, man. I mean, there's a
yeah,
lot of
no,
backyard
totally.
Chicken coops here in Portland.
Yep.
Brady feeds two houses around just from here to school. He feeds the chickens. He got permission from the owners to feed the chickens, and
Wonderful.
It's been a great thing, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's about like what gives me life is giving back and working on the things that I really care about. Like I've always been an activist. I've always been very progressive. And I've always wanted to help people, but I also understand that's the hardest thing to do. And it's very easy to get caught up in chasing and building other people's dreams, right?
This is true. This is true.
You know, especially when you're
Well
in sales.
said.
Right.
Well said. Yep.
In sales, you chase your commission, and commission is about hitting a quota, about hitting a number, about building someone else's dreams. And that's taught me a lot. You know, like I remember, I blame you, right? And I blame you and I love you at the same time because this is where I needed to be. But I remember when I was working for you and Brian Boyes, I love Brian to the moon and back forever and always. And Brandon B. Secker, Brano. And, you know, I was working as a relationship manager. I was just managing accounts for Expedia for our clients, right? At that time, it was Instant Software before all the acquisitions. And I love that job because like my job, and I believe in micro economies, right? Now, that's what I loved about vacation rentals in the industry is like these companies hire people in the local community. All the money stays in that local community. It's about promoting that local community, the coffee shops, the cafes, you know, the little bars,
Sure.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That vacation rentals, they make that work, right? Rather than you go, you know, not anything against the Hyatt, right? But like go stay at the Hyatt, you might be eating at the Hyatt, right? You know, and like, you know, taking care of all their built-in amenities. So I really love that. And my job was just to make sure that the clients that we had were happy. I remember, you know, my first objective when hired was like, Hannah, you don't have to bring on any more clients. You don't have to sell anything. Just make sure nobody leaves, right? You know, just make sure
Just
they're
take
happy.
care of the one, just take care of the ones that we have.
Yeah. And I
Yep.
love that job, you know, and I remember
Mm-hmm.
you and Brian, you know, you're expanding the sales team. You're like, Hannah, you should move to sales, right? You should do this. You'd be good at this. And I remember, I'll never forget this conversation because it's pivotal in my life where I said to you, because I trust you, right? I trust you. And I see a lot of me in you, right? And I, you know, and you're a happy guy. You live life, I think, in a way that most people would really love to live their life with a lot of joy and a lot of happiness, a lot of authenticity. Like you bring joy into a room, right? You're famous for that. And I remember asking you, I said, John, do you think this is a good move for my career? And you said, there's nothing better. This is the best thing you can do for your career. So I was like, okay. I'll try it for 1 year. You know, that was 18 years ago or some crazy thing. You
Yeah,
know,
a long time ago. Yeah.
A long, oh God, you know, a long time ago. I was a baby, you know, I didn't know anything. And I was like, because, you know, there's a stigma around sales, right? But
Sure.
I found my way through that. And I've always tried to, as an individual producer or as a sales leader, I've always tried to stick to like, look, there's plenty of opportunity out there. Right. You don't need to get a yes from everybody,
That's
but,
right.
you know,
That's
help
right.
people, you know, but solution solve, right? problem solve and put people in the right place and care, right? Give a shit about their experience, right?
That's exactly right.
You know, and don't lie about, you know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't do weird stuff, right? Like, you used to call me a sandbagger, right? Like, because I would sandbag all the time, you know, hey, sandbagger, you know, I'd tell you it's not coming in and then it would, you know, like, because I never try to force it, right?
Yeah,
I never wanted to do something to harm somebody. So I got a lot of practice doing that with sales.
So let me just mention something to the folks that are listening. Okay. Hannah was amazing in that role. And I spent my whole life in sales since I was 11 years old. And the thing that people think about when they think of sales is money. Mm-hmm. They think of money and they go, well, I could never do that. Here's the bottom line with sales, folks. Sales is not about money. If you're doing it right, it's not about money.
Right.
It's about helping people. It's about solving their problems. It's about listening to them.
Yes.
It's about figuring out what it is that you have that can help enrich their lives. And, you know, when you think about it that way, it's an amazing, amazing career. It's mm-hmm. an amazing area to go into because, you know, it's a world of abundance, right?
Yes.
And you're not looking at it as I got to close that sale. And Hannah, I don't know if I ever pressured you from a money standpoint. Mm-hmm. If I did, I apologize because I tried to build a culture around helping people,
mm-hmm.
right? Always being honest, always mm-hmm. looking out for our customers.
Yes.
And you were amazing at it.
Oh, well, thank you, John. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a great experience and I'm really thankful for the things that I've learned and, you know, getting back to kind of the hardships that I've experienced. Cause I was laid off and then, 5 months later, my previous wife, she asked for a divorce. And then 5 months later, I was laid off for the first time. This is a COVID divorce, COVID layoff, right? So there's been a lot of change and disruption. Right?
And suddenly you're a single mom.
Suddenly I'm a single mom. I'm trying to maintain the home that we bought together to keep my son in the house. You know, and she, you know, Britt does well for herself. So that was a big kind of hole to or a chasm, right? But you just got to find a way. Like you get creative and you find a way. And I was committed to doing that. I will always be committed to doing that, maintaining stability for my son. Cause that's a promise I made to him, right? I brought
Absolutely.
Him into this world. Right?
Absolutely.
So that's my job. That's my core job. But yeah, so that was a lot of disruption, right? So everything I knew kind of was like taken away. It's like, wow, that's a lot to deal with. That's really challenging. And then got laid off this another time, right? With Thrasio, the company that they thought they're going through bankruptcy right now, so it's all public information. But they, you know, another one where I thought where I was chasing again, John, like we're digging holes, right? But are we digging the right holes, right? Are we digging holes in Barriots or are we digging holes in Prius, right? So with Thrasio, it was like, man, they got $1 billion in a single round, Series D. Never even heard of that before. They were the fastest U.S. company to ever reach a dollar valuation. And they went bust, right? They went bust 9 months after I got there. Our entire team was laid off, right? In full division. And then the next company I went to, where I was in a challenging space, you know, and it was a big build and there was a lot of work to get done. But man, we pushed hard and we tried to get to the other side. But they had bad debt, right? So they also folded. They're also they're kaput, right? They're not even going through bankruptcy. They're just done. So again, another call. This was in December, December 1st, right? So right after Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, call with HR, 70 people on the call, all let go, right?
Wow.
But my point being is, okay, listening, right, to these signals, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Like, you know, being open to what the universe is trying to tell me, right?
Go with it, right?
Don't fight against it. Go with it. Yeah. So, you know, you apply for lots of jobs, you get a lot of no's, you know, it's kind of like sales. Like I think salespeople are the best people to be unemployed because we know what it takes, right? We know used to being rejected.
That's true. That is true.
You know, and you got to sell, right? In order to find a job, right?
And
all the same mechanisms are in place.
You know, I'd like to just spend a couple of moments about your experience, talking about your experience in the Peace Corps.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that experience mm-hmm. Kind of shaped you a lot.
Yeah.
So tell us about, you know, because what you just went through, I mean, I think of survival. I think of oh my gosh, you know, ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. And the emotional roller coaster, if you will, of dealing with all that. And I feel like your Peace Corps experience was a real foundational part of who you are.
100%, John. So yes. So when I was growing up in Boise, Idaho, I was born in Montana, the original Hannah Montana. Never forget that, right? I'm a whole lot of that. But I did spend a lot of my years in Boise growing up. And you know, Idaho is a conservative state. Boise is a conservative city. And my mom's youngest brother, John, was gay, right? And he was gay in a time where it was not cool to be gay. Like a start now, it's like really cool to be gay.
Sure.
Like if you're not gay, like you're on the outs, right? But back then it was not cool. And I was very close to John. I was close to him we weren't really very close. Like I didn't really see him a lot, but I always had a special place in my heart for him because I recognized something in him that was in me. Right. So even though I didn't know at that time growing up that I was also gay, that we shared that trait. I saw that in him and I really admired him and I really revered him. And John, during those years, those are the HIV was rampant. And John did get AIDS. He died when he was 28 years old. And I remember that experience, being so tough because, you know, he was such a young guy and he basically emaciated. I mean, the way that the HIV attacked his body, he couldn't keep any weight on. So I think when he died, John, I don't know, he's like 5'10". I think he was like 110 pounds or something. Ugh. I mean, terrible. Right. And watching that and then the hospitals wouldn't take him. I mean, this was like, you know, cause of HIV and all the, you know, all the rumors and the discrimination against that. So that was a formative, really tough experience, right? For our entire family.
I can't even imagine.
So I was determined to do something to help people in a similar situation. So as soon as I graduated from college, got my degree in political science, I joined the Peace Corps, as you mentioned. And I said explicitly, you know, like explicitly, I want to do HIV AIDS work, right? Like send me somewhere where I can do that.
So that was on your Peace Corps application.
That was on my Peace Corps application. I don't think that's very common. Most people are like, send me wherever, I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I'm very like this. I want to find a way to give back, to do something to help others. Right.
Yep.
And they sent me to Botswana, which is it's Southern Africa, right above South Africa. And it was really tough times. I mean, this is in 2004.
You went by yourself.
Oh yeah,
you were Hannah Montana.
I was in Africa. Montana, little white girl. I had blonde long hair at this time, if you can imagine, right? didn't know nothing about nothing, and they sent me there. And it was great. That you just spend three months, you know, learning the language in the capital city of Habaroni. And I met my cohorts and still have wonderful friendships with a lot of the Peace Corps volunteers I served with. And then after that, like the Peace Corps is legit. You don't stay in the capital city. You don't stay under electric lights. They send you, they pick a village and they send you where there's a need, you know, where there's a need for a volunteer. So they sent me to this tiny little village in the middle of the country called Mukubilo. It's a little over 1,000 people, 98% unemployment and over almost a 90% HIV infection rate.
So let me... go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the rate of reinfection was also super high. So, people were sick.
You got what you asked for.
Yes. People were sick and people were poor. Right. So that was one of the first things. No running water, no electricity, no internet, no nothing. It's just me out there. Right. I was legit like the first white person ever to live in this village. Right.
Wow.
So it was an intense experience. And of course, you know, I try to be, and the Peace Corps does a really good job of like helping you with this, but it's like, you know, still you're kind of your first world mindset takes over and it is kind of odd. It's like, I'm a 22 year old kid. I'm sent here to help you. Right. Like I'm sent here to help you with your problems.
I'm here to help.
Like what? You know, and it's like, there's really big issues. Cause this village was there. The people who lived there were nomadic tribes who used to live in the Kalahari, and they would go and they'd move about as they move with the seasons and where the food was, but there were diamonds there. Right. So Debswana De Beers in Botswana. They have a partnership. It's actually a pretty good partnership as partnerships go with countries and diamonds. But they built a primary school and they said, well, come live over here. Right. So they used to be nomadic and now they were set. And the land was very dry. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for them to grow anything. So they lived off of government subsidies. That was part of my job. I was partnered up with the local social worker. One of the things we did every month was hand out provisions, right, from the government. Botswana is a very rich country because they have so much wealth, natural wealth, and they share that wealth with De Beers, which is really great. But that was a really challenging, very formative experience. And I remember going through, there's a little local clinic. Again, they ran off of a generator, right? But there was just a handwritten log where people would come in and test. And before they even found out that their results, they were already dead, right? And pages and pages and pages of this stuff. So that was a really intense experience, right, to have as a young child. And I was a kid. And one of the things I learned from that, in a very challenging way, we don't have enough time to talk about all these different things, but was that it's really hard to help people. That's the hardest thing you can do, right? I was constantly worried about, like, my friends, they gave me one of those little iPods, you know, like the one that clips on
your
phone.
Yeah,
like, I remember,
yeah.
Like a shuffle. It was like a shuffle or something.
Yeah, but you just staged yourself, by the way.
I know. I'm sorry. I admitted it. Okay, I admitted it.
Well, you said you were 43 at the very beginning, so there you go.
But, like, you know, they had never seen something like that before. So what does that do? You know, like when you bring in something and you cause desire, right? Or you just bring in something that can be disruptive, or even my clothes, you know, or any of that, right? So it was very challenging. But it was such an important experience. And so going from that, I thought I was going to go into civil rights law. I'm like, I'm going to go back home where I don't have to worry about all the landmines everywhere as far as like responsibility and like your impact, whether it be good or bad. Like, I'm going to go home and just work with, you know, where I'm from. And that was another thing that I had read that I thought was really impactful. I think it was from the San people, a San woman, one of the tribal leaders said, things get messed up when people leave where they come from, right? And that's kind of true, like globally, historically, right? People leave, they bring their ideas, they try to like impress their ideas and their way of life, and it causes a lot of problems, right? So I was like, I'll go home and I'll just like solve, I'll work with people at home, right? And I thought I was going to go work for the ACLU. That was like my goal. I wanted to do civil rights law. And then I worked for an attorney and I saw what that looked like. And I was like, oh, no.
Enough of that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. No. You know, like, no. So, and then I found my way to you, right? I found my way to you and to Brian and to Kirsten, right? I found my way to you guys. And I got myself into sales. And where I am now through all of these winding roads, right? Going back to what I was saying most recently, it's like, I've been digging, John. I've been digging. I've been doing it, I think, in the right way. I believe, you know, in having fidelity to my integrity, but shoot,
absolutely,
I'm not getting where I want to be, man. And like the door I keep hitting myself on the door, right? You know, these doors aren't opening or they're shutting, right? So how can I, where I am now is like, okay, how can I tune into abundance, get all the stuff that I want from my life, which is to be present primarily for my child, right? And for me, and to get some like real satisfaction out of my life, that's not about money or these physical, you know, attainments, right? It's about having a good life and giving back, getting back to this sense of like servantship, you know. And I've always tried to be a servant leader, as I've held roles in companies where I have teams, and I've always tried to do the things the right way, but I still keep hitting in this door, right? So I'm like, okay, I need to do something different. So I think that this new economy, this creator economy, this fractional economy, whatever, however you want to call it, where people are saying, I don't really want to do the 60-hour a week job anymore, where I'm on the road all the time and I'm missing time for my family. And then you fire me or you lay me off with like,
I didn't fire you. Don't be looking at me like I fired you.
No, but you know what I mean? Like this corporate race, right?
Yep.
You know, and it's so challenging and it's getting more competitive. And now with AI and AI agents and generative, I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, who knows what the future will look like? And there's no security. So it's like, okay, well, how can I use what I learned and help to transition those skills to help others? So I really love, so I started this business called Up and Over Advisors. up and over, right? Helping you get up and over your revenue challenges. And I think where I really want, what I really want to seek and who I want to bring into my life are folks who are, you know, registered B Corps, triple bottom line businesses, companies that are solving real life challenges. And I want to help them set up and establish a scalable revenue system because, hey, at the end of the day, that's what it takes, right? For companies to hang out and hang around. Even as a nonprofit, like you need donors, you need funding, right? So I want to do that. I want to very intentionally, and I don't need a lot, you know, I need like 3 clients and that would be perfect, right? Like 3 clients, that's it, you know, and I do fractional work for them, but I do it in a right way and I'm helping them put together those foundational pieces or scaling pieces that get them to where they want to be to serve their mission, to serve their goals.
And, you know, the reason why I know you're going to be successful, Hannah, is because of what you just said. You're going to do it the right way. And you're doing it with an attitude of servantship. You're not focused on the money. The money always comes.
Yeah.
And you've heard me say this a million times. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this piece of guidance that I got is something that's been there for ages. And that is, you know, people want to work with people they like and people they
yes.
trust.
Yes.
People they trust.
Yes.
And it's when you work in with the attitude of, you know, you got to convince people that you really do in your heart want to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to fall in place. It's when you focus on the money that the money runs away from you.
Exactly.
And we've you and I have never done that. We've always had that in the back of our heads in terms of our revenue targets and stuff. But it was never anything that we focused on. It was always focused on taking care of our clients and taking care of people that we wanted to have as our clients. So you're going to do great. You're going to do great. And there's just no question in my mind. I'm just amazed. You know, my son went to visit his friends. This was years ago, probably 15 years ago, when he was in maybe 10, when he was in college and just got out of college, and his friend joined the Peace Corps in Cameroon.
Mm.
And my son went to visit him in Cameroon, and the stories he came back with, you know, I mean, there is no running water. His friend got a staph infection. And he had to get on a bus he got into a little car with 5 other people. It was like a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah, right.
Had to go 6 hours to get to the doctor. I mean, you know, and then he had friends that who were attacked, you know, women who were attacked. And you know, and so I think back, I think about your experience and oh my gosh, I mean, what an amazing, amazing experience you had. And I can see how that would shape your life moving forward. And I love, and Hannah, it's always been wonderful working with you because the whole reason why I'm doing this podcast is to help people, right? Is to share experiences that people might be able to decide to use for themselves to help them live better lives. And I believe that we all share a common purpose, and that is to make this world better than the day we landed on it.
Yes.
You know, and you personify that. You really do.
You.
And I love you for it. I love you for what you do and who you are. Congratulations on starting your new business. And folks, you know what? If you're not inspired by Hannah's story, I don't know what's going to inspire you. And, you know, there's a Japanese proverb that says, fall down 7 times, get up 8.
Yes.
And in fact, my mom wrote it in kanji that I have it hanging in the other room. And when I think of that, I think of you. And
oh,
just
thank
keep
you, John.
Going. Just keep going, and you're going to be one. You already are living a wonderful life, and you're going to continue to live a more wonderful life. So thank you for being who you are, Hannah.
Thank you, John.
And thank you for joining me, folks. Hannah Sandmeyer. You gotta love her. All right, folks. Listen, thanks for joining us. Until next time, God bless you. Bye.